We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
I'd like for you to turn in your Bible with me and look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5, I want to share this passage of Scripture with you this morning. John chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 24. John chapter 5, in verse 24, we'll read through verse 29. And the Word of God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." When the Lord said, "Verily, verily," He says it twice in this passage. He's saying, "Truly, truly." Have you ever tried to get somebody's attention? You said, "Look, I want you to listen. What I'm telling you is the truth. So listen carefully." Well, that's the expression here. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." I want you to notice an expression we find here in verse number 29, when he said, "For they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, resurrection life. Resurrection life. What kind of life is resurrection life? And it certainly sounds like something that's appealing, doesn't it? Resurrection life? You see, we live in a world where sin and death is a universal condition. Death is inevitable. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse number 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Every one of us, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, and I believe He very well may, and most likely is, don't you? But if He doesn't come, all of us are going to experience death. No matter what the coroner may list on the report, I want you to know there is one cause of all death, and that's sin. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, when God made man, when God made Adam, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And God made Adam to live forever. But God said, "Adam, if you eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat that fruit, know this, the day you eat of it, you will surely die." And do you know what Adam and Eve did? They ate that fruit. And in that day, they died. Now, ultimately, the Bible tells us that Adam lived over 900 years. Can you imagine that? A man lived over 900 years. But that day, in his spirit, immediately, he experienced death. The life of God that was within him went out of him. And Adam died that day in his soul. Progressively, he died in his soul. And ultimately, he died in his body. Immediately in his spirit, ultimately in his body, Adam experienced death. And that death was passed upon all of us. The Bible tells us that that day Adam and Eve became sinners. And when they gave birth to a son, he was born a sinner. And by the way, everyone who's ever been born of Adam's race is born in sin. David, the psalmist, wrote, "For I was conceived in sin and in iniquity." Meaning this, that he was born a natural born sinner. You don't have to teach these precious little children in the nursery how to cheat, how to take something that doesn't belong to them, how to manipulate mom and dad. You don't have to teach them to do that. They know how to do that naturally because they're sinners. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin, the payment for our sin, the just desert of our sin is death. So death is a universal condition. But Jesus came not to give death. He came to bring us to life. He did not come in John chapter 3 to condemn us. He came to deliver us from condemnation. The condemnation of sin and death. Jesus Christ came and gave his life on the cross in place of that appointment that you and I had with death. He bore our judgment so that we could have life. He's the author of life. He's the restorer of life. And as he said in his word, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He supplies life to all who believe on him. And he can supply that life because he is the source of life. Now, Paul wrote concerning the convincing evidence of his resurrection. I'd like for you to look with me, if you would, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because on this Resurrection Sunday, we are remembering his glorious resurrection. He died on the cross according to the Scriptures, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose again from the grave to give us eternal life. And Paul is writing the Corinthians to explain to them the overwhelming evidence of Christ's resurrection. There were those who tried to deny it, but it was undeniable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Paul is writing to the Corinthians concerning the infallible proofs of the resurrection of Jesus. He's saying, you can go into Jerusalem right now, he's writing to these Corinthians, and you can talk to those who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one could dispute it. No one could deny it. And you see, we find that Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the only one who rose from the dead to die no more. And because of that, he has authority to give life. Notice what he said in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 18. He said, "I am he that liveth." I want you to know Jesus is alive this morning. He said, "I'm he that liveth and was dead. The Son of God laid down his life for us." He said, "And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." You see, resurrection life only comes from one place. It comes from Jesus. And you can have the life that God intended for you to have from the very beginning if you have resurrection life. Now, I want you to note three truths concerning resurrection life this morning. First of all, I'd like for you to see that resurrection life is spiritual life. It's spiritual life. All of us today have natural life. We have physical life. We have what the Bible calls the life of the flesh. Here we are. We know that we have this life because we're all gathered together. We're looking at one another. We can hear one another. We can see one another. We interact with one another. We all have physical life. I hope that all of you have spiritual life. But it's likely that not everyone who has physical life in this room also has spiritual life. I want you to know that Jesus came to give you spiritual life. I want you to notice what he said here in John chapter 5 and verse 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." How do I receive that spiritual life? I have to hear his word. "And when I hear his word," he said, "and believeth on him that sent me." That person who hears the word and who believes the word hath everlasting life. And he said, "shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You see, though we all have physical life, we are natural born sinners. And that natural born sin has caused us to be born in a condition where we have no spiritual life. We're still born spiritually. And the Bible said, though he were dead, he said in verse 25, "the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God." We were all in that condition, dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, by his Holy Spirit, spoke to us. His word was communicated to us. And if we have heard the voice of God, if we have responded in obedience to God's voice and believed upon him, we have received spiritual life. There was a religious leader who came to Jesus in John chapter 3. His name is Nicodemus. I want to read what Jesus said to that religious leader. Nicodemus wanted to know what good thing he needed to do, what task, what work he needed to work in order that he could get to heaven. He wanted to know who Jesus was. And so in John chapter 3, Jesus answers the question. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again." You see, he wanted to explain to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, there's two births. There's the first birth, which is a natural birth, which all of us have experienced. But if you want to get to heaven, if you want resurrection life, if you want eternal life, you have to experience a second birth. It's a supernatural birth. It's not a natural birth. It's a supernatural birth. It is the work of God's Spirit, and God will come into your life, and God will give you eternal life. That life that Adam lost in the garden when he sinned against God, that life is restored to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in his salvation when the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us after we have believed on him. That is the second birth. That is being born again. That's what gives us eternal life. And so Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." He said in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." It is a supernatural birth. I want you to know resurrection life is a spiritual life. Secondly, I want you to know this, that resurrection life is an abundant life. Resurrection life is an abundant life. The Bible says in verse number 24 of our text in John chapter 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." He will not come into judgment, but he is passed from death unto life. The Bible said that those of us who know the Lord have passed from death unto life. Now, as I said a moment ago, those of us who do not know the Lord, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, or before you came to know the Lord, you are already in death. The Bible says we have passed from death unto life. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Paul also wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And he says this, and you hath he quickened. That means to be made alive. Well, you can't make something that's living alive. You can only make something that doesn't have life alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That describes our condition in our sin. We're dead. We do not have the life of God. We have the physical life, but we do not have the spiritual life. And because of that, he says in verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here he describes what it is to be dead in trespasses and sin. That what it is to live apart from the life of God. To walk according to the course of this world. To walk according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. Who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest they should believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a dark world. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world where men and women are bound in the chains of sin. They're bound in their lust. They're bound by the desires of their flesh and of their mind, and are by nature the children of wrath, opposed to God, under the condemnation of God. He said, we've passed from death. That's where we were. But Jesus desires to deliver us from that life of sin and bondage and bring us into life. He said, you've passed from death unto life. Do you have life this morning? Oh, you should thank God for it. This choir can sing because they have life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life. I'm come to give dead people life, that they might have it more abundantly. Listen, I want you to know this, that the life of the believer is an abundant life. That word means exceeding, beyond measure. It is much. It is great. It is super abounding. Galatians describes it this way in Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if we have that spiritual birth, then the Spirit of God lives within us. If we have resurrection life, we have spiritual life. And that spiritual life produces in us abundant life. Notice what the fruit of the Spirit is, love. What did Paul say the world walks in? Lust. What do Christians experience? Love. You see, we don't know love until we love God. And when we learn to love God, then we'll love others. I want you to know that if you need love in your life, you're going to find it in one place. In Jesus. Then he said joy. Joy. Joy is something that remains with us no matter the circumstances of our lives. Joy is deep. It is abiding. And there are a lot of people who have happiness from time to time, but they have no source of joy. I want you to know that the resurrection life is a life of joy. It's abundant with love. It's abundant with joy. It's abundant with peace. We live in a world that has very little peace. But Jesus came to give us peace. Oh, listen, we can have an abundant life, and that is the resurrection life. And then I want you to see, lastly, that resurrection life is everlasting life. Resurrection life is everlasting life. In John chapter 3 and verse number 14, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to bear our sins upon that cross. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died in our place. He was buried and he rose again. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know how long eternal life lasts? It lasts forever. That means it never ends. It never ends. Eternal life is never ending. Now, you may be young today. You might be in your teens and you think, well, if I live a normal life expectancy, I may make it into my 70s or probably my 80s. And you think that's a long way away. And you don't even want to think about the subject of death. You might be in your 20s and 30s and you still think, I got plenty of time. Some of you have turned into your 40s and your 50s and you're realizing you're running out of time. Some of you are in your 60s and 70s and beyond that, and you know you're coming to the end of your race. Dr. Lee Robertson, who pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in a nursing home in his 90s, told my former pastor, who's now in heaven, Pastor Sexton, he said to him, I can't believe, this again is a man in his mid-90s, I can't believe it's come so quickly. He was about to die. You see, we're never quite ready to die, are we? Never. And as long as you may live, I want you to know your life is just a vapor. It appears for a short time, and then it passes away. But eternal life, resurrection life, lasts forever. You never have to say goodbye. It's unending. And the only place you can get it is in Jesus. The Bible says here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, on the road of sin and suffering, we're going to perish. But those who know Jesus have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants us to know it's eternal. It's everlasting. It never runs out. It never wears out. The body never gets old. You never have any sickness in heaven. There's no more disease, no dying, no destruction in heaven. We're with him forevermore. Resurrection life is eternal life. You see, the outward man, Paul said, perishes. That outward man is this body. This body's breaking down. But if you have resurrection life, there's two of you. There's the outer you and the inward you. And the inward you is being renewed day by day. While you're getting weaker and weaker day by day on the outside, on the inside, you're getting stronger and stronger every day. Why? Because God has given you everlasting life. What a glorious life resurrection life is. It's spiritual life. It's abundant life. It's eternal life. Can I ask you a question? Do you possess that life? Do you possess that life? In our text in John chapter 5, Jesus said this in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, all of us are going to live somewhere for all eternity. There's two resurrections. There's the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. I want to be in on the resurrection of life, don't you? Well, how does that happen? He says in verse 29, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. You say, Pastor, what good do I need to do? I want to tell you there's only one good thing that you can do that'll get you to heaven. Just one. And do you know what that is? That is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of my righteousness, all of my self-effort in the sight of God is as filthy rags. I come up short every time. But Jesus Christ made the payment for my sin. It was paid in full. And when I trust in him, he has saved me. He has imputed his righteousness, taken his righteousness and put it on my account. And so when God sees me, he doesn't see me in my sin. That's what this choir is rejoicing about this morning. He doesn't see me in my sin. He sees me in the righteous record of Jesus Christ, his Son.
And that happens through the transaction of faith.
God imputes the righteousness of Jesus onto this old sinner's account because he believes. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the one good thing you and I can do to receive eternal life. Believe on Jesus. Jesus came to a funeral. He was considered to be late by the family. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here a little bit earlier, he'd still be alive." Jesus said, just hold on. He's going to be alive just any moment. Martha said, "I know he'll be alive in the resurrection, Lord." No, the Lord said, just watch out. Here's what's going to happen. And he said to her in John 11 and verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now, yesterday we had a funeral. Saturday we had a burial for one of our dear precious men, Phil Herman, who went to be with the Lord. And if you look at his obituary, it's going to tell you that he died on a certain day. Don't believe it. He didn't die. Phil Herman is more alive than he ever has been. And as I said a moment ago, he and his wife Jean, who sang faithfully in this choir for many years, they're up in heaven celebrating now because they have resurrection life. And do you know what brought Phil into resurrection life? Well, one day, one of our dear ladies shared the gospel with him. Many people in this church have shared the gospel with Phil and prayed for Phil. But one day, God, by His Holy Spirit, helped him to hear and then to believe the message of the gospel. And he prayed and bowed his head and he asked Jesus Christ to save him. And the moment he did it, he received eternal life. And now he's in heaven. You see, there's only one good thing that you can do that'll get you eternal life. That's believe on the Lord Jesus. And I want to say this, there's only one thing that you can do that's evil that will send you to hell. Just one. And you say, "Pastor, we're all sinners." Yes, sir, that's true. We are. And we all sin, and to different degrees. But there's only one thing that will send us to hell. And what is that? We'll look in John chapter 3, verse 18. Here's what will send a man to hell. What will give a man life and send him to heaven? Believing on Jesus. But what will send a man to hell? John 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There are people who hear the gospel. They hear that God loves them. They hear that Jesus died for them. They hear the message that if they will respond to Christ in faith, they can be saved. But yet they choose willfully not to believe. They reject the message of the gospel and they go on in their unbelief. And the Bible tells us the reason they go on in their unbelief is because they love darkness more than light. You see, there's only one good thing you can do to get you to heaven. That's believe. And there's only one bad thing you can do to send you to hell. And that's reject Jesus. And I've come this morning to tell you that God loves you. And He wants to save you. And if you don't know Him as Savior, today you can believe Him. And today you can receive Him. And today you can have resurrection life. But friend, if you reject Him, if you reject Him, you're going on in your sin into an eternity without Christ. In spite of His love, in spite of His sacrifice, in spite of the pleadings of loved ones and neighbors, you may choose to reject Jesus and go to hell for all eternity. I want to say to you this morning, don't do it. I want to say to you this morning, bow your head, bow your heart, humble your soul, and cry out to God and say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And if I die in my sin, I'll go to hell. I know that Jesus is the Son of God, that He loved me and He gave Himself for me, that He rose again the third day. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin and to save me. And I want to tell you on the authority of God's Word, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's Word to you. And today you can receive Him as Savior. And dear Christian friend, if you're living resurrection life, you got the life of the Spirit. You have an abundant life. Thank Him for it. You have eternal life. Rejoice in it and hope in it in the midst of sorrows, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulties. Thanks be unto God for resurrection life.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you, and thank you once again for listening.